بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yesterday we discussed the summary of the first lesson of the Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh. Just to basically recap a few points. The first, he said that you should read the Fazail Namaz of the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, which is in Fazail Amal. He says so that the importance of Namaz can be set in the heart of the person. That was the first point. The second, he said that a person should think a little bit and understand that this namaz is not a burden upon me, neither is it a penalty from the side of Allah Ta'ala, But it is a great ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with. And no matter how much shukr we make to Allah Ta'ala for giving us this salah, we can never make shukr. All the ahkam of shariat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when He sent it down, He sent it to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. But when it came to the aspect of salah, then this law wasn't sent down via Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala called Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the heavens, and then Allah Ta'ala gave this gift to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no matter how much shukr we make, we can never make shukr for the salah that Allah Ta'ala has given us. And further over and above that, Allah Ta'ala made us among the best of His creation. And then Allah Ta'ala emphasized and instructed us that come to my house 5 times a day. And whatever your need is, ask for your need 5 times a day. Whenever you want to start your nafil, read your nafil. You're not in need to take permission from anyone to come into the masjid. There's no guard that is here. The doors of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the court of Allah Ta'ala, the kingdom of Allah is open to everyone. So come 5 times a day. And if you don't come, then there is a warning also. That my severe punishment is for those people that are not going to come to my house and fulfill this obligation. So that is the second point. The third point that he mentioned over here, that in your salah, at least in every posture, one time in every posture, a person should be conscious of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And one way, Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned, that a person should just think of this, that I am now facing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I am before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala's gaze and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's tawajjuh is upon me all the time. And when a person will recite the verses of the Quran, when he comes across those verses of the Quran, this is obviously for the ulama, that when they will come across those verses of the Quran, where the anger of Allah Ta'ala is mentioned, where the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, the reprimand of Allah Ta'ala, there a person should fear. And in his heart, a person should seek protection from Allah Ta'ala. And where it is the place of the rahmat of Allah, the kindness of Allah Ta'ala, there a person should desire in his heart that I wish I can have this. And for this, for a person, it doesn't come automatically, it's not going to come overnight, but it will come through a lot of practice. So therefore he says, initially in the Nafil Namaz, those verses of the Quran, where a person wants to practice upon this, repeat those verses of the Quran again and again. Where for example, Jannat is mentioned, person now desires Jannat. So read those verses again and again, and in the heart of a person, desire that Jannat. So that's the third point that he mentioned. And the fourth point that he mentioned, he says that, what is actually required? What is concentration in salah? He says that a person should be conscious of what are the faraiz of namaz. What are the wajibat of namaz? What are the sunan of namaz? And what are the mustahabbat of namaz? Those acts that are preferable that a person should do in salah for which he will be rewarded. All these he should keep in mind. And this is what Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Faisani, which was our last point, Mujaddid Al-Faisani Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned. He says that concentration of salah is, and the perfection of salah is in these four things. That consciously a person should fulfill these four things. What is faraz, fulfill that. What is wajib, fulfill that. What is sunnat, fulfill that. And what is mustahab, fulfill that. Further he says, aage chalke likhte hai, further Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Faisani Rahmatullah Alayhi, his khalifa, has written this. He said, la salata illa bi hudur al-qalb mein, huzur al-qalb se murad umur mazkura char gana mein huzur al-qalb hai. He says that where it is mentioned, there is no salah except with the consciousness, with the presence of the heart. He says, what is meant by huzur al-qalb, that the heart of a person is present? He said, just these four things. It is restricted to these four things, the faraiz, wajibat, sunan, and mustahabbat. Yani dil ki tawajjuh aur khiyal ke saath, namaz ke tamam faraiz, wa wajibat, sunan wa mustahabbat ka ada karna. He says that with concentration, a person should fulfill the faraiz, wajibat, sunan, and mustahabbat. That he is conscious that this is a faraz of namaz, I am now fulfilling. This is a wajib of namaz. This is a sunnat of namaz. This is a mustahab of namaz. Taake koi kotai in umur mein waqe na hone paaye. So that in these things, in the faraz, in the wajib, etc., He says there is no deficiency in this. It is done. The farz is done properly. The wajibat are done properly. Sunnat are done properly. Mustahabbat are done properly. Iske alawa, aur koi huzur e qalb fakir ki samajh mein nahi aata. As it says that besides this, in the heart of this lowly servant, he says nothing else is coming. It is just these four things in which there is concentration of salam. Namaz ka kamal unhi umur ki kama haqqahu adaygi hai. He says the perfection of namaz is in discharging these four things as they ought to be discharged. Fulfill the faraz as you supposed to fulfill the faraz. The wajibat, fulfill it as you supposed to fulfill it. Same with the sunnah, same with the mustahabbat. Yehi namaz hai. He says this is namaz. You do these four things properly. He says that is namaz. Jo log iske alawa kisi aur cheez, mar cheez, mahviyat wagaira se namaz ka kamal chahta hai, wo kamal namaz ko ghair namaz se talash karte hai. He says those people that are looking for perfection of salah in things other than these four things, meaning being totally absorbed in salah. That namaz means that a person from the beginning to the end, he's totally absorbed in salah and he's not worried about all these things. He says you are looking for the perfection of namaz in something that is not namaz. That is not namaz. He says namaz is fulfilling these four things, faraz, wajib, sunnat and mustahabbat. But if you're looking for it somewhere else, that I must only be absorbed in salah. He says you're looking for it in something that is not namaz. Magar in mazkura umur ka dil ki tawajjuh aur khayal ke saath ada ho jana. He says but these four things, they should be done with concentration, with devotion, in a proper way it should be done. غافل قلب کے ساتھ اور قلبی خشوع کے بغیر ممکن نہیں. For you to fulfill the faraiz, wajibat, sunan and mustahabbat with a heart that is negligent and a heart that is void of khushu. Khushu is the internal quality of the heart, where a person, his heart is connected to Allah Ta'ala in salah. So if you can do it with a negligent heart and a heart that is not connected to Allah Ta'ala, it's not possible. For you to fulfill these four things with negligence, he says this is not going to happen. اور قلب خشوع قلب کے ذکر سے متاثر ہوئے بغیر ممکن نہیں. And for a person to have khushu, for the heart to be connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says this won't be possible if that heart hasn't been affected by zikrullah. So in other words, first you have to do a cause on zikr. When you do a cause on zikr, the heart will be affected, the heart will now soften. When the heart is softened, then khushu will come into the heart. Now when you got that khushu, you got that concentration in salah, and you fulfill these four things, now your salah has become, so to say, a perfect salah. Obviously, a person shouldn't think that way, that after he has completed his salah, that I have read a salah of perfection. As long as a person performs salah, and he thinks my salah is imperfect, that person is okay. But the day you perform a salah, and you think that salah of mine is now has reached perfection, I have read a proper salah today, that person has dropped to the ground. We mentioned that incident previously, that one person, one alim, Murana Kashmiri, in the Khanqah of Mufti Mahmud Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. So their great, great buzruks used to come for salah, and he was performing the salah. So when he was performing the salah, once he was put on the musalla as the imam, and many senior ulama standing behind him, so he said, what have I done? I've destroyed everyone's salah. So like that, he made his salah, and he completed the salah. So after namaz, he went to the Mufti Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. So he said, he told us the Mufti Sahib, that was his sheikh, he said that this is the condition that I experienced in salah. So the Mufti Sahib said, tell me something, don't worry about what happened in the salah. Just tell me in the end of salah, what happened in the end, what was the conclusion, what was the final result. So he says, when I completed the salah, when I made salam, I said I destroyed everyone's salah. As it said that you are 100% successful. If this is the attitude, you are successful. But when a person thinks, I have reached somewhere now, that person, now he's in danger, that person is actually not successful. Jaisa ke piche bhi bayan kiya gaya, like this has been mentioned before also, that you have to do zikrullah. When zikr takes place, then the heart is affected, then khushu will come in. Ke is tarah namaz parne mein puri kamyabi unhi ko hasil ho sakti hai, jin ke dil ko zikr shughal ke kuch nisbate yaaddaash hasil ho chuki. He says that those people will attain success who will perform salah in this way, who have attained concentration in salah by doing a cause on zikr and spiritual exercises. In ko to namaz ki takmeel ke liye in umur ki adaiyi thori si koshish se hasil ho sakti hai. He says for those people that got this concentration in salah because they have done zikr, they have done spiritual exercises, He says, for them, they just have to make a little bit of effort and fulfill these farais, these four things. And he says, they will reach the perfection of salah. Aur inke ghair ko, jiske dil mein zikr aur khushu nahi hai, inke liye namaz ki adaiyi dushwar hai. For those people that didn't do the zikr, they don't have this concentration in salah, this connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then leave attaining perfection in salah, for them to go and perform salah also becomes difficult. It's difficult for them to come to the masjid and even perform salah. Jaisa ke Quran Pak mein, as Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, namaz khashin ke alawa dusro par dushwar hoti hai. That namaz, besides those people that have khushu in their salah, it is difficult on other people. Wa innaha lakabiratun illa alal khashin. Those that have khushu, they have that concentration. For them, they will perform salah. But those that don't have this khushu, for them to come to the masjid and perform salah, that is very difficult for them. So therefore, a person has to do this cause on zikrullah. Let the heart be affected. When the heart is affected, then concentration will come in. Now when concentration has come in, now focus on these four things, the farais, wajibat, sunan and mustahabbat. And then a person will reach perfection in salah, inshallah. Dusri baat ye bhi haqeeqat hai. کہ ظاہر کا اثر باطن پر اور باطن کا اثر ظاہر پر پڑتا ہے. He says the second thing is this, that it's a reality, that the outward, it has the effect on the internal of a person. And the internal of a person, it has an effect on the outside of a person. How your outside is, that will have an effect on your inside. And how your inside is, that will have an effect on your outside. Today, the focus of the world is only on the outside. Everyone's worried about making the outside look very, very good. So everyone's worried about the outside. Women also, they only worried about the outside. They go for plastic surgery or whatever else they go for now, facelift or whatever you call it. The focus is on the outside. What is the condition of the inside? Generally, people are not worried about the inside. Whereas today, they have injections also. That a person, for example, under the eyes, all this after time when a person ages, everything starts sagging now, starts going inside. So today they'll give you an injection, they take everything out, make a person look much more younger. A different thing, that it's cancerous, not cancerous, whether it's permissible in Shariat, whether it's not permissible in Shariat, that's a different aspect. But today everything has been done. In the cosmetic world, where haven't they reached? So the focus on the outside. That's why we taught a dua also in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allahumma aj'al sirri khayram min alaniyati. Allah, let my inside be better than the outside. Because outside everyone is focusing. Everyone wants to look good on the outside. So Allah, let my inside be better than the outside. وَاجْعَلْ عَلَانِيَةِ صَالِحًا. And let my outside be righteous. So this is the dua that we have been taught as well. In the time of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, so what we are saying, that the outside has a great effect. In the time of Musa alayhi salam, when those magicians, they came to combat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, to show Musa alayhi salatu wasalam what is their magic. But when they came to combat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, to compete with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, how did they come? They adopted the dressing of Musa alayhi salam. And that too in mockery, against Musa alayhi salam, in mockery of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But this outward appearance, it was so beloved to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that then they came to make mockery of Musa alayhi salam. Allah gave them hidayat and they brought iman. They said, قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. We brought iman on the Rabbul Alameen, on the Rabb of the universe. So Fir'aun also, na'udhu billah, he used to think that he is Rabbu. He used to say, أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ الْأَعْلَى. Na'udhu billah, I am your Rabb that is most high. So they clarified it after that. Allah Ta'ala says, which Rabb? Who is Rabbul Alameen? Rabbi Musa wa Harun. We brought iman on the Rabb of Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salatu. Harun alayhi salatu wa salam. So at that time, Fir'aun, what did he say? He decided to punish these people. He said, لَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ ثُمَّ لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I'll cut your hands and your feet from the opposite side. And thereafter I will crucify you, I'll hang you, let you be killed in that way. So such iman Allah Ta'ala gave them in a jiffy, just in a little while. They said that we will turn to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You do what you have to do. We will not give up this iman. So where this came? This came on imitation, just on the dressing. The outside was put right. And that too in mockery of Musa alayhi salam. But this was acceptable to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that he gave them such an iman, in that jiffy they were prepared to sacrifice their life also. That's why I think it is a share of Khaja Sahib rahmatullahi, if I'm not mistaken, where he says, Tere mahbub ke ya Rab, shabahat leke aya ho. That's, oh, I have brought the shabahat, the outward form, the resemblance of your Rabb, O Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. I brought the form of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is just the outward form. Tere Mahbub of your beloved, I brought his form. Tere Mahbub ke Rabb Shabahat leke aya ho. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de. You make it reality. Where is Sunnat of Nabi Alayhi Salaam? Where is the position of Nabi Alayhi Salaatu Wasalam? And where am I? I'm very, very far. So you make it a reality. Main surat leke aya ho. I have just brought the outward form and I have come. So the outward form also in the court of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is very beloved to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And if you look at it, the little children, if you take a child and you give the child, for example, policeman suit, make him wear a policeman suit. Now what happens? He starts acting like a policeman. Now he wants to boss everybody. Give him a soldier suit. Now he wants to act like that, to act like that, to act like that. Give that same child now Superman suit. Now he wants to fly also because he became Superman, because he's wearing that suit. Or you give him Spider-Man, now he wants to start climbing, what he wants to do. So, although that clothing is not correct also, but when you put that type of attire onto a child, then he acts and he behaves in that particular way. So when a person will wear outwardly the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now where will a person go towards the places of guna? When he goes, he thinks, what am I wearing? How can I be in this particular place? So this outward appearance of a person, this also has great effect on a person. So similarly, when our salah outside, it is sorted out, then we find this will increase the inside also. The spirituality of that salah, this will increase. One alim was explaining, he says, it's mentioned about this one particular alim that stayed in the company of Mullah Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrati Mullah Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, when he was showing him how to perform salah, he put his four fingers between his feet. Four fingers. And his feet were a bit away. So he said, no, bring it close. Bring it close. Only four finger gap must be left. Not that the feet is 10 past 10 or in any other direction, or there must be a very big gap now we're touching the toes of the next person. No. Just a four finger gap, and he made him bring his feet very, very close. So see, the outward of salah, that also had to be sorted out. So the outward has a very great effect. When Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, when he had put Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, he put her into the chambers of Baytul Muqaddas and he was taking care of her. So whenever he went there, he found that there was fruit over there. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّ الْمِحْرَابِ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. Whenever he entered her room, that room he used to lock it up. And lock it up and then he used to leave. But when he came there, then he will find that there is fruit that is over there. So he asked her, يَا مَرْيَمْ أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا. Where is this fruit coming from? Unseasonal fruit. Mangoes you get in summer, here you're getting it in winter. Those fruit of winter, you're getting it in summer. And the summer fruit, you're getting it in winter. Unseasonal fruit you are eating. Where you get this from? قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنِّ اللَّهِ. She said, this is from Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah Ta'ala gives risk and sustenance to whomsoever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wishes. So here, look at this. When he just saw this, what an effect it had on him. That he had already reached old age, but he didn't have any children. But this gave him the tawfiq of now making dua to Allah Ta'ala. هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهِ. He made dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبًا. That Allah, you give me righteous children also. Give me a righteous son also. So there he made dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala had accepted the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. So the effect, these things, the outward things also, we find that it has an effect on a person. One person, one murid of Mullah Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi. So it was known that when he used to perform salah, he used to perform a salah of a lot of concentration and a lot of devotion. So it was well known about his salah. So once he made dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he said that, Wallah, in my dream, show me the position of my salah. That what is the position of my salah? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala showed him in a dream. He saw a beautiful woman, a hoor of Jannat. And he said, this is your salah. But the hoor that he seen, she was blind. She couldn't see. So he came to Mullah Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi. So he explained to Mullah Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, Hazrat, that this is the dream that I had seen, And I made dua that I wanted to see the form of my salah. So Hazrat told him immediately, he didn't ask him further. He said, it seems like you're closing your eyes and performing salah. So he said, Hazrat, it's correct. To gain concentration in salah, I close my eyes. That is not the sunnah. The sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the eyes must be open. And we'll do it now, inshallah, where the eyes should be focused as well. So that is the sunnah. So he says, that is why that hoor that you had seen, she was blind. So see, the outward salah, when the outward is in order, the spirituality also will increase of a person. When the outward is not in order, then it's difficult to increase in spirituality as well. So that is why he says that the outside, it has the effect on the inside. And the inside of a person has an effect on the outside of a person. That's why many people say, they say, don't judge me by my outside. My inside is clean. It's not correct. The inside has an effect on the outside, and the outside has an effect on the inside. Mawlana Abrar al-Haqsa Farudhoi rahmatullahi alayhi, he explained this point, that where the inside also has an effect on the outside. He says, your imam, 15 years he's your imam, he's making imamat in the masjid, he's giving the Jummah bayan, Jummah khutbah, everything he's doing. And he says, one day, one Jummah, that imam comes and he doesn't have clothing on, what will you say? He'll say that he's mad, he's insane, that is why he has done this. He says, but you don't know about the inside of him, how you say he's insane? He says, you see, the inside has the effect on the outside of him. When he went insane, now he removed his clothing and he came to the masjid. So he says, the inside also, it has the effect on the outside of a person. Agar qalbi khushu aur zikr wala thori tawajjuh se zahiri mustahabbat ko ada karega, to iska asar batin ke khushu ko bhi barha dega. He says, a person that he has qalbi khushu, that concentration of the heart, and a person that makes zikr, with a little bit of focus, with a little bit of concentration, he focuses on the outward mustahabbat of namaz, those acts of namaz that are mustahab, but those are the external mustahabbat. He says, then this will increase the effect of the internal khushu of a person. Meaning those acts that are mustahab in namaz, you just pay a little attention to these acts. And he says, what will be the result of this? He says that your internal concentration and devotion, this will increase. Misal ke tor par, bawakte qiyam, sajda ki jaga par nazar rakhna. It says, for example, it says when a person is standing for salah, when you're in a standing position, then the gaze of a person should be at the place of sajda. When a person is standing, the head should be straight. The head shouldn't be lowered. Person shouldn't keep the head down when he has commenced salah. The head should always be kept straight throughout the namaz. The head shouldn't be down. But when you are standing, your head is straight, but the gaze should be at the place of sajda. Sajda. That is the mustahab of namaz. Ruku ke waqt qadamon par. When you go into ruku, now the gaze of a person should be on his feet. Aur sajda ke waqt naak ke nok par nazar jamaye rakhne ko amal mein layega. And when a person, he goes into sajda, then at that time a person should focus on the tip of the nose. You should focus because you can't see your nose. Nobody can see their nose. So you focus on the tip of the nose. And he says, by doing this, to nazar ke intishar se mahfuz ho jayega. He says, by this, a person will be protected from the gaze moving around. What we say in today's time, many people complain that we cast lustful glances. We can't control our gaze. Which our Hazrat explained also in his bayan, that once he mentioned this in a particular bayan. And there was a particular brother, he had this problem, he couldn't control his gazes, and because of this he made a second nikah also. He says, but he still couldn't get the gaze right. So then he heard this in one bayan, that keep your gaze in these particular positions when you are performing salah. 2 months later he phoned, he says, I got 100% complete control of my gaze since I started guarding my gaze in salah. So see, the salah that we perform, this got a connection with our life outside the masjid. Like in today's time, a person has got a remote. So now you came to your house, you just press the button. You may be 50 meters away from the gate. You press the button, that gate open. Now outwardly, what connection? Can anyone see any connection? You can't see the connection. But in reality, the connection is there. That is why when you're pressing that button, that gate is opening. Exactly in the same way, if in namaz, that gaze of a person is now corrected, Outside namaz also, the gaze of a person will be corrected. Or namaz hudur e qalb ke saath muyassar ho jayegi. And to perform salah with concentration, this will now become easy. When you start controlling the gaze in salah, then to perform salah with concentration also will become easy upon a person. So this we should do immediately. Now we've heard it, now the Zohar salah is coming. So in Zohar salah, now try and focus on these things. That this is where I must keep my gaze in a standing posture. When I go into ruku, when I go into sajda, and when a person is sitting in the qada posture like this, then on the thighs a person should keep the gaze. And when we make salam, then don't look at the musalli next to us, but it should be on the shoulders of a person. They should look at the shoulders and make salam, and all the niyats, all this will come later on in the kitab. Jab ye itna bara faida mustahabbat ki adaigi mein hai, to sunan wa wajibat wa farayiz ko dhyan se ada karne ki ahmiyat zahir hai. He says, when there's so much of benefit, this is a mustahab act of salah. If a person doesn't do it, his salah will still be valid, he'll still be absolved of his responsibility. So he's saying when there's so much of benefit in fulfilling a mustahab of namaz, then he says that fulfilling the sunnahs of namaz and wajib, which is higher, and faraz, which is even more higher, with concentration, he says the importance is absolutely clear to us. We don't need any explanation. From this we can understand how important all these things must be. Chunache in mein kotai karne se namaz ka kamal to kya, kabhi namaz bilkul hi ada nahi hoti. He says where a person is now deficient in these things, in the faraiz, in the wajibat, in the sunan, leave striving to attain perfection in namaz. We are talking about getting perfection in namaz. Leave perfection in namaz. He says sometimes the namaz of a person is not even fulfilled. He hasn't even performed namaz. Where there is some deficiency, a faraz is missed out, or a wajib is missed out. He says sometimes the namaz of a person is not even done. Or kabhi naqis reh jati hai. And where, for example, a sunnah is left out, now that salah remains incomplete. Your namaz will be done, but the full reward that you're supposed to get for that salah, you're not going to get it. Or salat munafiq kehlati hai. And that namaz is now called and termed as the salah of a munafiq, as a hypocrite. We also did in the hadith, it comes that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us that a person, he should make dua to Allah Ta'ala, O Allah, protect me from the khushu of a munafiq, munafiqana khushu, from the khushu of hypocrisy. What is khushu of hypocrisy? Khushu means where you're concentrating, your heart is connected to Allah Ta'ala. But there is that concentration which is of hypocrisy also. And that is where a person outwardly, when you look at him, he seems like he's so absorbed in his salah, he's concentrating in his salah. It's only him and his Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But internally, there is no connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Like the one person, he was making tawaf of Baytullah. And he found one person that was holding on the ghilaf of the Kaaba. And he's crying and he's making dua to Allah Ta'ala. So this Buzruk, he looked at him one time. He saw that outwardly he's crying so much, he's making so much dua to Allah Ta'ala. One nazar on his heart, and he saw totally ghafil, he's not even connected to Allah. And then he went to Mina, he found one person, he's busy, he's doing business. He's taking money from the customers, he's selling the goods to the customers. And then he put one nazar, one gaze on that person, any person. And he sees that he's busy in business, but his heart is connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this salah is referred to as the salah of a munafiq, a person that doesn't fulfill the sunan, the wajibat, the faraiz, etc. جس کے متعلق وعید آئی ہے کہ وہ غفلت والی نمازی کے لیے بدعا کرتی ہے. And he says for this type of a namaz, warnings have been mentioned in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this salah of ghaflat, this salah of negligence, it actually makes badua for that namazi. The person, imagine, he leaves his home, he takes his car, sometimes a person walks, he comes, it's cold in the months of winter, in the months of summer, extremely hot, he comes to the masjid, makes his wudu, performs his salah, and after performing salah, now he goes back home, and instead of getting thawab, now there's badua that's been made for him. And that salah is turned into a rag, and it is thrown back at that musalli, because he wasn't connected to Allah Ta'ala. He just came, he just performed salah up, down, touched the ground, and then he's gone. So he wasn't connected to Allah Ta'ala. So it turned into a dirty rag and thrown at him. And what he said, دَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ كَمَا دَيَّعْتَنِي. May Allah Ta'ala destroy you as you have destroyed me. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala save us. So he says, وَغَفْلَتْ وَالِي نَمَاز نَمَازِ کے لئے بدعا کرتی ہے اور پرانے کپرے کی طرح لپت کر منہ پر مار دی جاتی ہے. Like old clothing, old rags, taken, thrown at the face of the person, and he is cursed. Why? Because namaz is supposed to connect you to Allah, and now you are reading a salah of ghaflat, you are totally negligent of Allah. Like for example, as I explained, he says dua. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us, this is our begging bowl. And the begging bowl, it is attached to the body. That whenever you need this bowl, you just pick it up, you take it out, and now you use this bowl, you ask from Allah Ta'ala. And whatever need you have, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give it to you. So you have this begging bowl. But when a person doesn't use this begging bowl, he goes out, he steals. So what he has done, he has shown this appreciation for this bowl that Allah Ta'ala has given you. Because what Allah is a khazana and the treasure of everything. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. The khazana and the treasures of everything is by Allah Ta'ala. So you're supposed to be asking from there. But when you went and stole, and you stole for 10 dirhams is today the minimum mahar, which is about 240-250 rand plus minus. So a person that steals for 250 rand, his hand must be cut off. Why? You do not make shukr. You do not appreciate what Allah Ta'ala has given you. This a person, he just makes one dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Dunya is sorted out. Akhirat of a person is sorted out. A person asks for afiyat, اللهم إِنَّا نَسْأَلُكَ الْعَفْوَ وَالْعَافِيَةَ وَالْمُعَافَاتَ الدَّائِمَةَ فِي الدِّينِ وَالدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ. There also deen is sorted out. Dunya is sorted out. Akhirat out. Akhirat is sorted out. Everything in this begging bowl. But now you didn't make dua. You went and you stole from somebody. Sharia says now, cut the hand of that person because he didn't appreciate it. So exactly that salah was supposed to connect you to Allah. But when you came into the masjid and read that namaz, you didn't even think of Allah Ta'ala once in that namaz. So that namaz is then thrown at you, that like a dirty rag, and then that person is cursed. Allah Ta'ala save all of us. Or agar koi farai sunan, wajibat, ki to parwa na kare, or Allah Ta'ala ke huzuri hi mein mustagraq rahe. That if a person doesn't even worry about the farz, the sunnah, the wajibat of namaz, doesn't even care about it at all, and this person is absorbed in concentration with Allah Ta'ala. So farz and all he doesn't worry about. Just I must be absorbed in my salah. I must be now connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Chahe is dauran koi waswasa bina aaye. To such an extent, he's so connected to Allah Ta'ala that even a thought doesn't come to that person. Even a single thought does not affect that person. He is so connected to Allah Ta'ala. To wo namaz ke hukam ko pura karne wala nahi kehlayega. This person won't be considered as one that is fulfilling this command of namaz. You are absorbed with Allah Ta'ala, but you didn't worry about the faraiz of namaz. You didn't worry about the wajibat. You didn't worry about the sunnahs. You didn't worry about the mustahabbat. And you're so deeply connected to Allah Ta'ala, you won't even be considered as one that is performing salah. This is not even salah. So we need to understand that what Shariat wants from us, what is the sunnah way of performing salah, what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us, that is what is required. In our deen, logic doesn't appeal. Logic doesn't work. A person might think that if I am connected to Allah Ta'ala, I've got concentration, then don't worry about the faraiz, the sunnah, the wajibat, etc. So here logic doesn't work. For example, a person fasting, what great reward. In one hadith, it's mentioned that way Allah Ta'ala says, "As-sawmu li," fasting is for me. "Wa ana adzi bihi," I will give the reward for that fasting person. And the other way of reading this riwayat, "Wa ana udza bihi," person kept hungry for me, stayed away from food for me. So I am the reward of that person. So a person says, fasting, the reward is so great. But he says, today I'm going to fast every day of the year. Even the days of Eid, I'm going to fast. Now, fasting is such a great ibadat. But now he wants to make that ibadat when Sharia said is haram. So he's not going to get sawab. He's going to get guna now. He's going to be in haram. Leave getting any reward. Or a person, he came to the masjid. He said, Maghrib Salah is 3 rakat. But Asr was 4, Zohar was 4. So why 3 here? I want to read 1 extra, I want more sawab. So he said, let me read 4 rakat of Maghrib. What Sharia said? That Maghrib that you read is invalid. And you got guna for it also. You have to read your namaz all over again. So see, our logic doesn't appeal. What Shariat wants from us, that is what is required. A person, he went to Makkatul Mukarramah. In the haram of Makkah, one salah a person performs 100,000 times salah. Madina Munawara, one narration comes 1,000, one narration comes 50,000. But in Makkah Sharif, 100,000. One namaz you read in the haram, 100,000 times salah. But when it comes to the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, now the command of Shariat is, leave the haram of Makkah, leave your 100,000 times salah. There's no staying here now. Now go to Mina. And when it's the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, Sharia says, even move out of Mina, go out of the boundaries of the haram. Go to Arafat now. So see, our logic doesn't work. That Ali radiallahu ta'ala mentioned this, that لو كان الدين بالرأي, that if deen was according to logic, لكان أسفل الخف أولى بالمسح من أعلاه, then it has been more appropriate we make masa on the bottom part of the moza. Because when you walk, the bottom gets dirty, not the top. So clean the bottom. But he says, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَمْسَهُ عَلَىٰ ظَاهِرِ خُفِّهِ. I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam making masa on the top. That means deen is not according to logic. It is what is the command of Allah. So here a person being absorbed in salah, that is not the requirement. The requirement is fulfill the faraiz, the wajibat, the sunnat, the mustahabbat. So he says, a person that is only absorbed, that it won't even be called salah. بلکہ شاید ایسے نماز پڑھنے والا زیادہ گنہگار ہوگا. Such a person is only worried about absorption. He will be a sinner. کہ یادداشت اور حضوری کے باوجود نافرمانی کر رہا ہے. That in spite of so much of concentration, he is concentrating so much in namaz, but you are breaking the law of Allah, you are disobeying Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this is the first sabab. The second sabab, niyat, takbira, tahrima, wa qiyam. The second is pertaining to the niyat of a person, takbira, tahrima, Allahu Akbar, when you start our salah, and the standing posture of salah. Baad is ke muh taraf kaaba ke khare hokar kare. A person, now he should face the qibla, he was faced in the direction of the kaaba, and stand for salah. Sir isme ye hai ke kaaba naafe zameen hai. He says, what is the secret behind this? That a person must face in the direction of Kaaba Sharif and start Salah. He says, the secret is this, that the Kaaba is the central point of the earth. There's many ways, there's many ways of measuring the earth. He says, but whichever way, whichever method is used to measure the earth, the Kaaba always comes out as the central point of the earth. And when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wanted the land, Allah created and wanted the land to now spread out. So what, the whole world was full of water. Exactly where Kaaba Sharif is, which is the central point of the earth, a bubble had appeared there. And that bubble then started spreading. And as that bubble spread, then the earth started spreading out. So that's what he's saying, that the secret here is Kaaba naf e zameen. This is the central point. This naf means point. This naf the navel. So he says this is the central point of the earth. Aur tamam zameen isi se phailai gayi hai. And it is from here, the entire earth had now spread out from the Kaaba Sharif. اور پیدائش جسم آدمی کی خاک سے ہے. And the human being, we are created from sand. Everyone is created from sand. A person might think, but I am created from sperm. It was the sperm of the father. So I'm created from the sperm. So where did the sperm come from? The sperm is created from the food that we eat. And the food that we eat, where does it come from? If it is the vegetable that we're eating, that is from the ground. If a person is eating meat, then the animal that also had to eat grass. So the meat is also from the ground. The milk that we get, that we got from the animal. So the animal ate grass, that is also from the ground. So whatever a person ate, it is all from the ground. Or if we look at it the other way, أَنْتَ مِنْ آدَمُ وَآدَمُ مِنْ تُرَابُ. That Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, directly he was created from sand. So he says that the human being, he is from sand. So here you are connecting back. You are being connected where? To your origin. To that sand that you were created from that land. And the original point where the earth started was the Kaaba Sharif. So you are being connected to that earth, to that piece of ground again. That's what he's saying. Ke jism aadmi ke khaak se hai. Jab zahir jism apne ko taraf iske asal ke mutawajjih kiya. When the outward body is now connected to its place of origin. Batin ko bhi, yani rooh ko taraf iske asal ke. Yani haq ta'ala jo paida karne wala hai. اس کا ہے متوجہ کیا چاہے. He says that the ruh, there are two parts of the body. One is the outward body, which is the physical body. And the other part of the body is the ruh. And the ruh is the actual thing. The ruh is the main thing. As long as the ruh is there, the body functions. But if the ruh is taken, if the ruh is out, finished, this whole body that is there, it has become useless. So that is the actual thing. And the food for the body, for the physical body, this comes from the ground. And the food for the ruh, this comes from the heavens. This comes from Allah Ta'ala, the zikrullah, the tilawat, the salah, all that you make, that is the food for the ruh. So he says the ruh also must be taken back to its origin. It must be taken back to its asal. And that is towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is the creator of this human being. So the ruh, this must be now connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this is the secret, that we face the Kaaba, we are going back, the body is going back to its origin. And the ruh also is going back to its origin, it is going back to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. اور ہمیشہ اوقات پانچ نماز بلا شبہ وقت دربار اور حضور کا جان کر حاجات اپنی عرض کرے. And a person should always remember what are the five times of salah and present yourself now in the court of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and whatever your need is, then ask your need, present your need before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala five times a day. So know the times of the five daily salah, and when it is time for salah, now come to the masjid and present your need before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. At the end of the day, Quran says that we are all beggars. Ya yuhannas antumul fuqara'u ilallah. International beggars, we are all beggars. We have to beg and ask from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. اب بیان نماز کا اور معنی الفاظ کے مثال پر سمجھے. He says now the explanation of this namaz, the bayan of this namaz, and the meaning of the words that we read in namaz, all he will discuss over here through examples. Now he says understand this. مثلا جس وقت کوئی بندہ قصد مناجات اور عرض حاجات کا دل میں مقرر کر کے حاضر دربار خاص کا ہو. When a person, any bandha, any servant, he now makes that intention of now engaging in conversation, munajat, in conversation with Allah. When you're in salah, you're in conversation with Allah. So when a banda, now he wants to engage in conversation with Allah. And he now makes it firm in his heart that I want to present my need before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says at that time, he comes and he presents himself in the court of Allah ta'ala. Or nihayat ta'zim, or aqidah durus, or niyat-e-khalis se, Ru baru is Badshah Ali Jah ke khara hokar, aur ru iltifat ka, aur taraf se hata kar kahe Allahu Akbar, Allah bahut bara hai. He says the person with having total respect for Allah Ta'ala. Now he has got that desire to speak to Allah Ta'ala, present his need before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and he presents himself in the court of Allah. So here with great respect he stands before Allah. Person when he comes to the masjid, not that a person he comes now, many a time we see people, they come with a bermuda also. Somebody is wearing a t-shirt. This is not the way. When a person goes to the court, he's standing before the king, before the judge, how he goes before the judge, how he's dressed. A person goes before the king, he takes ghusl, he takes a bath, he dresses neatly and he goes there. So here he's standing before the greatest, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the king of kings. So with total respect and honor, when a person is wearing that t-shirt also, now he's going into sajda. When he goes into sajda, many a times his pants is going half down, t-shirt is going half up. Mm-hmm. So now the body of a person has to be covered in salah. For the male, from the navel to the knee, that must be covered. Now if a quarter of the limb becomes exposed in salah, just a quarter of the limb, and that is for three subhanallah, one rukun, what happens? The salah of a person is invalid. For a woman, her entire body has to be covered. Even the ears have to be covered of a woman. Only the face, the palms, and the feet of a woman can be exposed. Now if the ear of the woman, if her burqa has to now slip, and a quarter of the ear, how little is a quarter of the ear, now that becomes exposed for the duration of three subhanallah, namaz is invalid. So with great respect now he stands before Allah, having the correct aqidah and belief. And his niyat also is purely for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that I'm standing before the great king. And his attention must be turned away from everything else. And now a person says, Allahu Akbar, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the greatest. So in this way, when he starts, Allahu Akbar, Allah ta'ala is the greatest, his attention is away from everyone else. He knows he's standing before Allah ta'ala. His niyat also is in order. So what happens? So isi waqt Badshah Ali Jah apne bande ke qasd aur irada qasd aur irada qasd aur irada pe muttali ho ke inayat khas marhamat farmata hai. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is this mighty king, this great king, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is aware of the intention of this banda, that my servant has come to me, he's come to present his need before me. So on that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showers his special kindness and his special attention to this banda now. Allah's full attention is there. As long as a person, his attention doesn't turn away from Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala's attention is on that banda. But the moment our attention turns away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in salah, wa ta'ala in salah, wa ta'ala in salah, then we find that the attention of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also moves away from such a person. Aur uthana dono haato ka takbir mein das bardar hona dono jahan se hai. And when a person, he picks his hand to say Allahu Akbar, to say the word Allahu Akbar, this is fard, this is obligatory. A person, lifting up the hand is not fard. But to say Allahu Akbar, takbir al-tahrim, to say Allahu Akbar, this is obligatory. If he doesn't say that, he hasn't even entered in salah. Person ran and came into the masjid. The imam was in ruku. So he just came and he went Allahu Akbar into ruku. He didn't say the Allahu Akbar of takbir al-tahrim. He hasn't even entered his salah. He hasn't even started his salah. So that Allahu Akbar a person has to say. And then a person can go into ruku. So he says that to pick up both the hands and say this takbir, this is a person is withdrawing from both the worlds. I got nothing to do with both the worlds. Another explanation of this is like a person that surrenders. For example, somebody is caught now, police caught somebody. So what he does? Hands up, I surrender. So here a person has surrendered. Everything I threw away. It is only me and my Allah. Now when a person has got Allah Ta'ala in this way, it is only him and his Allah. Ek tu mera to har shay meri. Wallahi, if you are mine, everything becomes mine. Zameen meri, falak mera. That the earth is also mine, the heavens also become mine. Everything in the world becomes yours. Ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Allah, if you are not mine, nothing is mine. If a person has got everything in dunya, best house, he got the best car, he's got children, he's got the best of everything, but he hasn't got Allah Ta'ala in his life, this person has got nothing. Exactly the same way a person is making dua. You make dua to Allah Ta'ala. All the things of dunya you ask for. You ask for Jannat also. But you don't ask for Allah. You haven't asked for nothing. Allah Ta'ala, if a person has got Allah, that person has got everything. It's mentioned about Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi Rahmatullah Alayhi. Very great king that passed. So one of his slaves, his name was Ayaz. So when he came, he was a person of great qualities. He became very close to the king. So all the other ministers, they were very jealous of Ayaz. So always they would come give bad reports about him. So one day the king wanted to show them what is the position of Ayaz. So the king said that today he made an announcement. He said today all the jewels that are here, he had taken out all the jewels, had laid them out. Whatever you put your hand on, that belongs to you. So when he made this announcement, all the ministers, they went crazy. Everyone started running. Whatever you put your hand on, it belongs to you. So they tried to grab as much as they can. So all that belongs to them. Ayaz is telling. So king said, Ayaz, you didn't hear my command. You didn't hear what I said. He said, king, what did you say? He says, whatever you put your hand on today, it belongs to you. He said, are you sure? Is this your command? Whatever I put my hand on belongs to me. He said, yes. He walked up to the king. He put his hand on the head of the king. He said, I got the king, I got everything. What is this? What the king has still got in the vault, what is still hidden, that this is just a fraction of it. If you got the king, you got everything. This is nothing. So that is it. If a person has got Allah Ta'ala, what more does he want? You got Allah, you got everything. You got your dunya also, you got your akhirat.